Well, good morning and welcome to Focus 580. This is our morning talk program. My name is David Inge, and we're very glad to have you with us, and we're also very happy to have back on the show once again the man that we like to call our chef in residence. His name is Doyle Moore, and for a long time now, he's been stopping by the first Wednesday of the month in the 10 o'clock hour, and we talk about food and cooking, and we always have fun. He picks some topic, and we exchange recipes and stories and have a great time talking about that thing. And, you know, it doesn't necessarily, if you'd like to call in and talk and say hi, you can do that. We sometimes go off in some odd sort of directions. There's no rules here that we have to stick to the topic, but we do have a topic, and we invite people to call in and tell us about that thing and their experiences with it and places that they've been and meals they have prepared and suggest some recipes. And this time around, he said, well, let's talk about appetizers, starters, and snacks. So if you have a good recipe for one of those things, we would be very happy to have it. You can call in here, share it with the other people listening. Eventually, we'll get that on our website so that you can then go there and get the recipes. And many past recipes are there on our website. The trick is you need to go to the old version, which is WILL.UIUC.EDU. Okay. Now, one other thing. See, I'm just going to blather here for a while. I want to make sure to invite people who are listening, who are fans of Doyle Moore, to tune in next Monday night. That would be the 9th of March, at 7 o'clock. We're doing another live cooking show on WILL-TV. And I think this is, we've been looking at some of the recipes, and I think this is some of the best, most exciting recipes yet. Soups, stews, chili, that's the theme. So we're still doing cold weather comfort food. We have invited some people to come down to the studio to be there with us and to show us their favorite dish here that they've contributed. And we have a cookbook with lots of recipes, a lot of really good. I think this is the best. This is the best one yet. So I really hope that everybody who listens to us here on the radio will tune in WILL-TV Monday night, 7 o'clock, soup, stews, and chilies. It's going to be really good, and we're going to have a great time. So with that, Doyle Moore, ladies and gentlemen, was there some particular reason you were thinking about appetizers?
Yeah, I learned a new recipe.
Oh, okay.
And I made it, and I'm thrilled to it. Of course, I'm easily thrilled. All it needs to be is good, and I just love it. It sort of started in two directions. I've become I can't really yet say an avid fan because I haven't done that much with it, but I've become a promoter of goat cheese, of all things. Now, my reason for wanting goat cheese is that it has less salt in it. It is one of the cheeses that has less salt, and I have to watch that particular intake. And so I thought, well, you know, I've known about Chèvre for years. We've had it in this town for years and years and years. And I've had it in the south of France. And yes, except it wasn't as important as it is right now. And so I look at it in a different manner. Well, I found a funny little recipe, which I've actually known about it. It's using phyllo dough. And but I like phyllo dough, but I always get sort of tangled up in the manufacture of what is going on. Oh, this gets too wet. This gets too dry. Oh, I forgot that, you know. And so I'm stumbling around and not being efficient with it. The little spanakopitas that are the folded up triangles that are fun to make. Mm-hmm. Well, the old way that I knew to make them was lay out a sheet and butter it, put another sheet on top and butter it, another sheet on top and butter it, another sheet on top and butter it, and then slice it into three long sections. Well, then you've got all these sitting out and you can't work fast enough, and you're going to break them while you're trying to cut it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, this new recipe said, hey, take one sheet, put the rest away, take one sheet, butter it, and fold it over once. So now you've got two, and then butter it and fold it over again. You've got four pieces. None of them are hanging out. Nothing is waiting for you except to finish what you're doing, and you fold it up. And then the funny thing is to be able to fold it up with a rapidity that is efficient and ends up a nice little put it out. The stuffing that I put in this particular one was goat cheese and honey, and then you mixed those two together with an egg white. And so you kind of had a, it was a little runnier than I thought it should be, but it did bake, and it did, and it was just the right taste inside that crunch. And I was very happy with it.
Well, that sounds good. I also like the method. I think about my sister. My sister would make baklava.
Yes.
And she managed to figure out how to deal with the phyllo. And it's really pesky.
Yes, it is.
It's really pesky. But she could do it. And I always felt like, you know, I don't have the patience for that. Because, as you say, it's hard to handle because it's really thin. It dries out very quickly. So you have to put wet towels on it and do all this stuff so that it doesn't do that. So this sounds like this is a way to get around the peskiness of phyllo.
Well, because you've only got one sheet that you're dealing with at a time instead of trying to wrestle a bunch of them. So then I began looking around for other, and I have been doing some other things with goat cheese. And another one that I found very exciting, and I've taken it to a couple of places, and of course it was gobbled up instantly, using puff pastry. Now, let's see, who was it that it was somebody on television. And you just unfold the puff pastry and then cut a little 1-inch it's just a cut. You aren't cutting it off. You just make an indention in there, and then you put on the inside of that some caramelized onions, and then sprinkles of goat cheese on top of that, and then tomatoes on top of that, and basil on that, and 15 minutes in the oven. Wow, what a tart! And gosh, it is so good, and puff pastry puffs up and makes a fence around all of that.
Oh.
And it's a beautiful, and so I got quite a chuckle out of that. So I'm looking forward to more little tastes like that.
So instead of, now I know some people use puff pastry to make tarts where they cut out their square, say,
yes,
and then they cut out strips. And they build
a little wall
around the side.
Exactly.
But you're saying all you need to do is just make a little cut?
A little indention. Don't cut all the way through. Just a little indention, and then stay away from that. And then dock the inside.
Uh-huh.
And so it doesn't puff up.
So it'll puff up around the edges,
but it won't puff up around the inside. Exactly. Yeah. And that was a surprise, too, because I've got, you know, you're describing all the troubles that I've had with puff pastry. That was another one. Well, I feel much more confident now.
Oh,
and it's all through goat cheese.
Goat cheese.
And you know what? We have a lady here in our area that makes goat cheese, and she is apparently the only artisan goat cheese maker in Illinois.
In the entire state?
That puzzled me, but yes. I would have thought folks up near Wisconsin would be out making goat cheese. Maybe it's, well, nevertheless, but she appears at our farmer's market.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And it is good. That was the first one I tried. And it is good. Right now you can't get it because they're feeding the milk to the babies, the baby goats.
Oh, uh-huh.
So it's a little, so you kind of have to wait until they get a little older.
Maybe there, in fact, are people listening who have never had goat cheese. Most of the cheese probably most people have had, in fact, is made from cow's milk.
Yes.
Probably a lot of people have had feta, and that's a sheep's milk cheese. And so is Romano. That's a sheep's milk cheese. But, you know, maybe there's some people who actually haven't had goat cheese. How would you describe it?
In reading more about it, one of the reasons that people don't jump at the fact of having goat cheese, they think it tastes goaty. Well, it doesn't. That's the funny part about it. It doesn't. That's all in your mind because it's fresher than most other cheeses you're ever going to get, and it does not have a taste that would chase you away. Mm. It's very mellow and it's very soft and has so many different uses. I'm sort of looking around at these various uses and sort of enjoy the fact that it's something that is really quite edible. Well, that started me out. Then I got to thinking about all the other things. It was the 1920s, I think, that idea of when you go out to eat, it's everything from soup to nuts, you know, and that appetizers and hors d'oeuvres were a necessity to. It was never decided what they were for. Mm-hmm. Most people made a meal of them anyway. You know, they would eat so many, and then everyone was talking about, oh yes, restaurants give you that so it fills you up, and they don't have to give you. Well, there was all these funny folklore stories about starters and appetizers and things like that. It is meant to pique the taste buds rather than to satisfy them, you know, to quell them. It is meant for that. So they're smaller and small tastes and tastes that would kind of pique the appetite, mm-hmm. and is not really intended as a total meal. However, what do? We all of a sudden jump onto the tapas and make meals of tapas, which is exactly the same difference. Eat lots of little. So we've gone back and forth and kind of fussed around with what these particular tastes are. And however, much to my great delight, a bruschetta is wonderful. I remember when no one could pronounce the word, let alone know what it meant. And there have been some very sloppy ones, but I have found a couple here in town that are just mind-boggling. They're so beautiful, and it's called. This really is good. I think the main thing is use a good bread.
Ah, well, if you can find a good bread.
Well, we're finding good breads.
Well, and I know, and we certainly have people in this town, bakers,
yes,
who make very good bread.
Who bake very good breads. I've been here a long time. Yeah. I remember when you couldn't find anything. And yet this town was one of the most avant-garde towns that I knew of because of the influence of the university. I remember running off to Europe in the summers and long ago and finding things there and coming back here and realizing that a lot of people had also brought the same information back. I remember the first time, I mean, everyone was jumping around, oh, guess what I had this summer? And I said, warm duck liver on a salad. Well, how did you know that? I said, because I had it too. I was in Arles. And there it was. We had never dealt with it. And all of a sudden, the explosion of chicken then in salads and warmed and sauced and all kinds of things. And so we take a very lot of influences. I've always been very, very proud of this town. And I remember long ago when the psychology or sociology of the grocery stores was quite interesting because there was the university faculty grocery store. And then there was the students, and there was one for farmers, where you could buy everything by the gallon, and then it was that way. Well, the university store had all of the kinds of flour that you could get. I mean, there was a time when all we could get was all-purpose flour, except here, and it was a lot of different flours because the people like to cook, and they had different ideas, and so this has been always a joy to me. It's probably what encouraged me to even think about cooking. Yeah. Was that it was available. Yeah. We've done that, and I remember making another judgment about this town. Well, for years and years and years, you couldn't buy mushrooms. I mean, you didn't go buy mushrooms. Now you kind of kick them out of the aisle as you were walking down because they're all over the place and much more kinds, much, much different kinds. I remember it wasn't until after 1965 you could get button mushrooms in Garden City, Kansas.
Really?
Yep.
I wouldn't think that that would be all that exotic of a thing.
I know, but it just never got there. Television didn't get there until very late either, as a matter of fact, I might add. but we've always been right on the very edge. Mm-hmm. So I'm proud of this town.
Well, here this morning on Focus 580, as we stroll down memory lane.
Oh, it is memory lane.
We're talking about food and cooking. It's something we do every month, always on the first Wednesday, and have been doing this for a long time with this guy that we like to call our chef in residence. His name is Doyle Moore, and he picks a topic, and he says, well, let's talk about this, and people can tell us about their experiences, and maybe they have a good recipe to share and with us and with other people who are listening. And this time around, he said, well, let's think about appetizers, starters, and snacks, and maybe you have a good recipe to share. Why don't you call us? 333-9455 is the number here in Champaign-Urbana. Toll-free 800-222-9455. Those are the numbers. I just want to mention here, Martha Deal, one of our producers, she was listening at her desk, and she has suggested here, and funnily enough, it involves goat cheese. Here's something simple, assuming, again, you can get good bread. Goat cheese with fig jam on baguette.
Ooh. Oh, yes.
Very simple.
Yes.
Three things.
Yes.
Just, you know, get your goat cheese, find the kind that you like, get your fig jam, open the jar, baguette, there you go. You're ready to go.
That's exactly it. And you'll like those three tastes together.
Yeah. I'm sure that the tanginess of the cheese and the sweetness of the fig jam will do interesting things with each other.
You're approaching one that I'm working on where I want to grill a plum, either a plum or a pear. I want to cut it in half, take the seed out, turn it upside down on the grill, and grill the face of that, turn it over, and fill it with goat cheese that may have some cranberries and maybe some nuts in it, and that's it.
Ooh, that sounds really good.
Doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
I haven't made that yet, but I'm going to.
So I sort of think of a classic pearing is a pear and blue cheese.
And blue cheese, yes. But blue cheese has a lot of salt in it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I'm looking for these others, and I think it's going to be fun. Right. So anyway.
Well, we got some callers here.
Yes.
Let's talk with somebody to start us off. Someone in Urbana, line one, right here. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
While we're on the goat cheese, I also raise the local goat cheese. Les Cooper Bond and West Gerald, they just do a great job, and they're getting recognition in Chicago and New York for their cheese.
Oh, they are? Good.
And recently at the food co-op, Common Ground Food Co-op, they had an open house, and Leslie was there with an aged goat cheese from still their fall production.
Oh, yes.
Harder than what they usually sell. And so the other night, I get this isn't really an appetizer, but it's appetizing. I put some red wine, maybe a half cup in a saucepan with a splash of balsamic vinegar, and just let it reduce over low temperature. And then I served it with thinly sliced pears and interspersed, so on each plate, a slice of pear and a thin slice of the goat cheese. And
Harder goat cheese.
The harder goat cheese.
Yes. Oh, yes.
I drizzled the reduced red wine. I let that reduce till it was a syrup and just drizzled over the top. And that was a lovely combination. And it was very simple, almost no preparation other than slicing the pear. And
It is fast. And I'm...
Boil away.
It is fast. And that kind of makes you feel good because you aren't fussing for a long time and you're making something that's really very tasty.
We served it between courses. And
oh, my, and yes.
Very
sure.
Refreshing and light. And
well, I'll try that myself. Yes, yeah, some red wine and balsamic vinegar reduced and sliced pears and a firmer cheese. Good. Like it.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Let us go on. We got somebody here in Champaign, I think, line two. Hello.
Hello. I like to trade recipes.
All right.
I make occasionally cucumber sandwiches.
Uh-huh.
And I would like, in return, a recipe for steak tartare, or at least directions on where I can get it around here.
Oh, I used to make steak tartare. I don't much anymore since we got all spooky about not cooking hamburger. The tartare that I made would start with a good ground. I actually like to chop up my own meat in the Cuisinart, so you can make it to the fineness that you like. You don't have to go out and buy a steak of some sort, but you can make it yourself. And it generally mixes some capers and maybe some chopped onions, and I can't recall. You don't want it to be too spicy, but there is a raw egg that is also put into that, and you mix it up. And I remember it used to be I would have it served. I'm talking about 1953. And Tokyo, I was in. That's where I first had the first raw tartare, and it was served with a raw egg on top of it. You then mix the egg in with the hamburger meat, and then would use that as kind of a little spread that you could sort of take little bites of it and put it on a piece of bread. Mm. It's really very simple. But I know that we have avoided that for quite some time. Sometimes I see the chefs the channel making a kind of tartare, but generally they're making something with fish or other meats, and then sometimes they even end up making a quenelle out of them and cooking them. But it that isn't a very popular taste right now because of the anxiety uncooked meat. But I think that if you could select a good piece of meat, and I think I would take one that didn't have too much fat in it, and grind it up or put it in the Cuisinart. And then add these other things to it. So I believe you would like to have something a little spicy. So either vinegars or lemon juices or lime juices would add a little spark to it. Mm. And as I say, some chopped onion and it isn't very complex.
Mm-hmm.
But it certainly surprised me when I first ate it.
Oh, I love it. I only had it twice, but
well, that's the way it's done, as far as I know.
Well, here's my simple cucumber sandwich recipe.
Yes,
you get a cucumber, you get a loaf of Pepperidge Farm thin white sandwich bread, you get some kind of either like a French onion dip or a ranch or something like that that you can spread, and you make sure you get one of the things of pepper that's. Got the peppercorn, so you're going to crack the pepper yourself.
Oh, yes.
The thing. Peel the cucumber, slice it thin, but not too thin, because you want to get some good cucumber taste. You take your biggest cucumber and place it on top of a piece of the bread, so you figure out where you're going to cut to get the right little size, because you want all the little, you want the crusts off it, and you want it to be just a little bit bigger than the cucumber. Then you start, you know, cut them all like that. I usually cut them in big things of 6 or 7 at a time. And then you just spread your dip of whatever kind on each little piece of bread, put a cucumber on it, and put the cracked pepper on it, and you're done.
Well, that's pretty straightforward. The cracked pepper would be rather tasty. There are a lot of pepper tastes. Oh, good. I get to say my new one. Here's what you have to do. You get on the internet and you hunt up Spice House. It's somewhere up near Evanston, and you order a container of grains of paradise.
Grains of paradise.
Grains of paradise. And what that is a very, very, very old source of peppery taste, and it used to be as you can guess. It used to be very inexpensive before we had discovered the West Indies and pepper farms in, you know, Columbus, mm-hmm. pre-Columbus. But Grains of Paradise was a strange little seed that was very peppery and very spicy. Well, of course, now it costs $9 for a small bottle. Mm-hmm. But, hey, be the first on your block to have Grains of Paradise, because if you take those and just crack them a little bit, they would be murder on top of your cucumber. Mm. Oh, you would like it.
Oh, well,
I know I would like it. I like pepper, but Grains of Paradise is so exotic, I can't believe it. And it came by the information of Alton Brown. Alton Brown's used it twice in his recipes in the last year. Mm. And just casually just sort of throws them off. So I had to hunt it up, and I found some and got it and use it.
Well, it sounds good. I'll have to find some.
Yes, Grains of Paradise.
All right. Well, thanks very much. In fact, I'm looking at the website here for this place, and what it says is Grains of Paradise come from West Africa, where they grow on a leafy plant and are easily harvested. The name comes from medieval spice traders looking for a way to inflate the price. It was claimed that these peppery seeds grew only in Eden and had to be collected as they floated down the rivers out of paradise. And it says, although Grains of Paradise are now rare and expensive, they used to be used as a cheaper substitute for black pepper.
Right.
And it says they have a zesty flavor reminiscent of pepper with hints of flowers, coriander, and cardamom. Well, that sounds very interesting.
It is interesting. I should have brought some for you.
That sounds good. And so, yes, if you this place is called the Spice House, and I think you said it was in Evanston?
Somewhere north here. Somewhere north of here.
And they have a website, so you can go and that's just what I put that Spice House in there.
They ship them very quickly.
All right. Very interesting. Grains of Paradise.
Grains of Paradise.
You can learn stuff listening to the show. Amazingly enough, you can. It's worth the price of admission. This is Focus 580, a little bit past the midpoint here. It is the first Wednesday of the month for a long time now. We've been welcoming here to the studio Doyle Moore. We like to call him our chef in residence. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a purely honorary title. But he shows up here, and we always have a good time talking about food and cooking, and we trade stories and recipes, and every time we do the show, it generally has a theme. And this time he said, let's talk about appetizers, snacks, starters, those kinds of things. Maybe, and if you have a good recipe, you can call in and tell us about it, and then we will share that with other people who are listening. Eventually, we'll get it on our website, and you can go there and download it. Or if you do not have internet access, if you drop us a line, we can send you a copy. 333-9455 here in Champaign-Urbana. Toll free, 800-222-9455. Other callers. Next, Champaign, line one.
Hello.
Hi.
This doesn't take any cooking or anything. It just takes finding someplace that has this.
Yes.
You use a rice cracker. You know, those little, well, you know what rice crackers are.
Yes.
And the cheese that you put on it is called Pilgrim Blue.
Pilgrim Blue.
And I have not found it in Champaign yet. The only place I know where I have found it is a place that we refer to as Larry's Lunch up near Menominee Falls, Wisconsin.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's not cheap.
Pilgrim Blue.
Yeah.
That might be a local cheese up there.
I don't think so.
Not?
No, because you can't find it. We haven't found it anywhere except in this one place. It is a kind of, it's like World Harvest, only different.
Oh, I see. Yes. Well, Pilgrim Blue on rice crackers.
Yeah.
Now, what do you like so much about that? What is it that you like that's thrilling?
Well, I've always been a fan of blue cheese.
Yes.
And this just sort of melts in your mouth and you say, I guess I can afford to buy some more of that.
So it's very, very...
It's a blue...
Is it soft?
I'm not sure what other cheese it's mixed with.
Oh, I see, yes.
I think it is two different cheeses, and we haven't gone into it that closely. But it's just, you take a bite of it, and it's very Moorish.
Isn't that good? Isn't that good? Well, I'm glad you find something like that you can enjoy, and it is special enough and it's simple enough. But that's exactly the way it goes.
Yeah, yep. And this we've managed to have this a few times where people have looked at it and said, I don't like cheese, and I really don't like blue cheese.
Exactly.
More. place around here that you can get Pilgrim
Blue. Pilgrim Blue. All right, I'll look around.
Now, is this I'm looking here at my computer and I'm finding something that's called Pilgrim's Choice.
No.
So that's not it, because this is a cheese from, it's an English brand, and they do have a blue Stilton, which
is actually very good.
This is something
very different.
This is different. Okay, well.
Not like any other cheese that I've ever had.
Well, we'll have to call Larry and find out.
I'll try to get some more information the next time I'm up there.
Well, good. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks.
I do actually. I myself am not a particularly grand fan of blue cheeses, but I do like Stilton, and I'm not exactly sure why. What about that appeals to me more than other blue cheeses? But I do, and that's an English.
It's English.
It's an English blue cheese, and maybe it's because it's Stilton itself is just a little on the cheddary. It's like moldy cheddar.
Yes,
pretty much.
Yes,
it's like a blue cheddar.
As Stilton either has a fan or they hate it. Stilton, and so I think you've got a very exotic taste, and if you enjoy Stilton, then those are just absolutely wonderful cheeses.
Yeah.
You have to have a Stilton cheese knife, though.
Ah, well, of course. Of course.
Out of sterling silver.
I have which
is a little kind of curved bottom, and that you and a nice handle on that you cut down into the cheese.
Ah, all right.
I only got complained at once about Stilton because I ate the tip of the Stilton and they thought they should have had it.
Oh, was that the best part?
It's like the first piece of pie.
Ah, uh-huh.
And so here's a chunk, and I just chopped that off and had it. And it was because you see in the center it's softer than it is to the outside edge.
Uh-huh. All right.
That's all right.
To continue, another champagne person. This is line 3. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Hey, Doyle. This is your old friend who tried really hard to make you chop liver one time.
Oh, yes. Hi.
Well, you know how we like to just go into the pantry or into the refrigerator and then just try to create something?
Oh, yes.
Okay, so here is a combination of ingredients. I would put them like on top of pizza dough or something.
And is it going to be baked?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
Bake them, and beforehand, I would. Here are the combination of things.
Yes.
Some olive oil, maybe to smear on the dough. Some very thinly sliced potatoes.
Potatoes.
Some poached pear, sliced really thin.
Oh.
Caramelized onion. And some sprinkling of either blue cheese, Stilton, goat cheese, something.
Mm-hmm.
And make a pizza thing. Make a, you know, whatever.
Well, a tart.
A little tart.
Yes.
And that combination, my husband put together one day. Oh, God, it was so yummy.
Olive oil, potatoes sliced, peaches, or pears. Poached pears, and caramelized onions and cheese.
And some fragrant cheese that you like.
Will the cheese be on the top?
Yeah. We put the Stilton or the blue cheese on the top. But
oh, yes.
We were just talking about goat cheese.
Yes.
I would smear that at the bottom, I suppose.
No, it'll do it.
Or
it,
on the top.
It likes to be on the top and then kind of swoops down. Yeah.
And cut the potatoes really thin.
Really thin.
And
sliced.
The pears, too. And it was just like,
thin.
Oh, my God. And then use the good olive oil, you know, on the onions and caramelize them. And,
well, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Exactly what I'm talking about. Those simple little tastes that you put together, and that's why the title of this got to be so much. It isn't just an hors d'oeuvre or an appetizer. It could even be a snack, you know, that you wanted to have.
Yeah, or dinner.
Or dinner
or
if you have
dinner, probably.
If you have enough, sure. Well, that's great. Well, thank you.
Well, thank you.
All right, very good. We appreciate it. Let's see. Next, we'll talk with someone in Urbana, line number 2. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, hi.
I have something to put on top of the smooth goat cheese.
Yes.
And it can be on top of a cracker or a small piece of bread, you know, a party bread. And it is absolutely scrumptious. We gave and we give goat cheese sometimes as gifts.
Yes.
Because many people haven't had them, and it's really a nice gift. And so we took one as a hospitality gift to my husband's older of the two daughters, and she's a gourmet cook. And she just lit up, and she said, I know exactly what to put with this.
Yes.
And she had a container of organic Adriatic fig spread.
Okay. Oh.
And that's from Croatia. And it says, outrageously rich, these preserves capture the sweet, concentrated flavor of Adriatic figs, believed to be the world's finest. They are hand-picked from the Dalmatian coast of Croatia, sun-dried and carefully cooked to preserve their unsurpassed flavor. And they're produced by Hermes International in Croatia. And this is a taste to die for. Just a very small portion of that on the goat cheese, on whatever bread or cracker. And it is fabulous.
I love it. Can you remember the days when people all of a sudden found out about jalapeno jelly and put it on cream cheese?
Well, I've never been a jalapeno person.
Well, but that, you know, that was the biggest craze about 5 to 10 years ago.
Oh my.
And I'm thinking about these because what you're really doing is that you're bringing some traditional combination, because we've mentioned twice now goat cheese with fig spread.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
On them. Mm-hmm. And you see that obviously comes from the territories where these things were popularized and
absolutely
used.
Absolutely.
And I just love it that we learn these things and pay attention to them.
Well, the little paper that came with it said that this fig spread was wonderful with pears and blue cheese.
Well,
and cream cheese and bagels and fresh goat cheese or aged Manchego. I don't know that, but anyway.
Is that a Spanish?
It's a Spanish cheese.
Manchego.
Manchego.
Yes.
Well, anyway,
and you can buy that in town.
Well, I haven't bought it because we're still using what she gave us. But the point is, it is literally one of the best tastes I've ever had.
I think that's great that you like that.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
Wonderful.
Right,
thank you.
Thanks.
Sure.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Is it Manchego? That's a hard.
It's a little
grating
hard
cheese. It's a little like Parmesan.
I'm
thinking of something else.
I think it's not quite as hard as. No, it's closer to a Romano.
Oh, okay.
In its hardness, it isn't quite that you have to grate it because I've been served it where you bite chunks of it.
Oh.
So
mm-hmm.
it isn't so hard. But yes, it's available in town.
Yeah. Okay. About 10 minutes left in this part of Focus 580.
Oh, good lands.
Yes.
We haven't even got past the first course yet, have we?
Well, it's going to be a long dinner. 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455, and we're looking for appetizers, starter snacks. That's the theme of this morning's program. It's the one day a month when we set aside and say we're going to have a good time. We're going to talk about food, exchange recipes, and the guest, our man, the chef in residence, Doyle Moore. Let's continue, and we'll talk next with someone in Urbana in line one. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Thanks, David, for the continued good show, and thank you, Doyle. I've been listening to the cooking segment for a few months now, and your one on fruitcake inspired me to start a tradition of making our fruitcakes. We made these very small ones.
Good.
Excellent.
I've got
during the holiday season.
I've got four sitting in the icebox now that I just kept cooking them so much at Christmas time. I got four.
We already made our ate our remainders, so unfortunately they're all gone.
Good.
Well, I have one that continues with your goat cheese theme today, and I have to disclose that I got this off the web, a woman that has a very nice blog called Eggs on Sunday.
Uh-huh.
I think she's in Ithaca or something, but this is called Beet and Goat Cheese Napoleons, and I made this for cocktail party that we had. My wife is in vet school, and she had some of her fellow students over, and they really liked this. The beets, I grew up eating beets out of a garden, and sometimes liked them, sometimes didn't. As an adult, I do a lot of cooking, and I've made borscht and all kinds of other things. But this one is kind of a new one for me. You start out by you bake your beets.
Baked beets, yes.
Yeah, so you can skin them.
Yes.
And it's very pretty too. This one has you leave the tail root of the beet on, and you skin them very carefully. Her blog said that would be easier than it was. I ended up sort of like peeling them with a small paring knife.
Did you cover them up when you baked them? Did you have them in a cover, or were they open?
I made a little aluminum foil.
The skins should have just slipped right off.
Sometimes it did, sometimes it didn't.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So, you know, I had a range in size of the beets. I don't know.
That would be the amount of time it took to cook, and that would be a difference. Yes. But okay. yes, baked beets is a real treat. Okay.
Then you have reduced balsamic vinegar, which I heard you mention that earlier, and that's very good. I do a lot of reducing these days. And then there's a chive olive oil, and everyone uses a food processor these days. I tend to like to put something in a mortar and pestle.
Yes.
Hey, that's a baby in the background, my biggest critic.
Good.
Mortar and pestle, I really like to use that. I mean, it's a little more labor-intensive and slow, but it seems to really get the essence of things. So you take some tops of the chives, and you grind that up with the olive oil,
yes.
And then that's pretty much it. You can lay out whatever type of bread you want, and then you just make a stack. You take one beet and you slice it, and then you layer it with the goat cheese, and then another piece of beet, and then another layer. And you can, you know, the way she did it, she stacked a whole beet and then has the tail at the top.
Oh, yes.
And then she used, took the greens and had them as a side, the beet greens.
Oh, they
didn't do that, but they didn't have any greens.
That would be good.
And then just drizzle your reduced balsamic around, and then the chive oil, and that's pretty much it. It was wonderful.
That's pretty simple, isn't it? That's very good.
Yeah. Oh,
baked beets and cheeses and balsamic and olive oil.
And then just
chives.
A little bit of salt and pepper. That's,
and some
that's
salt and
the
pepper.
Entirety of it.
You mean no grains of paradise?
No. I love that.
I do too. That's very good. That would be a nice savory taste.
Well, I'll try to email this to the show, and then it can be put up if
okay.
Oh, great. Yeah.
David probably can find it online just by searching beet and goat cheese Napoleon and look at Eggs on Sunday blog.
Uh-huh.
Great.
Well, I like it.
Well,
thanks
very much.
Okay, enjoy what you're having to eat today.
Mm-hmm. All right, and you too.
We have about 5 minutes left in this part of Focus 580, our monthly cooking show. Doyle Moore is the guest. He said, let's talk about appetizer, starter, snacks, and if you have a good recipe, you can share it. And then eventually we will get those on our website so you can get them that way. And if you don't have internet, you can drop us a line and we'll send it to you one way or another. Unless you can find it drifting on the streams coming out of paradise, in which case you can pick it up that way. But if you're not anywhere near one of the tributaries running out of the Garden of Eden, you'll just have to use the old internet or drop us a line using the conventional post. 333-9455, toll free, 800-222-9455. We don't have any other callers. Was there another recipe you wanted to give?
No, not specifically, but I sort of wanted to tell people, you know, at the start of the program, it's a matter of, well, no one really cares for goat cheese, you know, they don't eat it, it's not a very... All of these recipes have been brand new recipes. They're not any of the traditional uses of goat cheese, you know, like sitting on a rock in Neapolitan rock and eating a chunk of goat cheese and hard bread. And it's nothing like that. It's all of these very, very fresh, and I really appreciate that.
Well, and I think too that there are a lot of different kinds of goat cheese, and maybe if you had goat cheese and you said, well, I don't like this, you might try some others, because they do range from more cheeses that are more mellow to cheeses that can be fairly assertive. And, you know, maybe if you did try one and you thought, well, that's not quite to my taste,
well,
you know, look for – try something else. And particularly if you can go someplace where they offer a variety and you can say, look, give me something that's on the mild and mellow side.
Yes.
You might then have that and think, oh, well, that's good. That's good. Where you been hiding this stuff?
You might quit buying Philadelphia cream cheese.
You might.
You might.
You just might. Let's talk with someone in Loda, line number 4, toll-free line. Hello.
Well, hello. Love the show very much. I've got a real simple one. 3 ingredients.
Yes.
We ate this in our favorite restaurant up in Chicago, and one night we bribed the waitress and got the recipe.
Good.
Very simple. 3 equal parts grated Parmesan cheese.
Parm, uh-huh.
Hellman's mayonnaise and avocados. Artichokes.
Artichokes, okay.
And you chop up the artichokes and you mix it all up. You bake it for away from home. I think it's around maybe 20 minutes, maybe 30 minutes till it gets kind of brown on the top. And then while it's still warm, spread it on good crackers or bread, and it's pretty tasty.
Oh, the warming of it would be very good. That would sort of soften up the cheese, the Parmesan cheese, and the mayo is going to handle that anyway, and it's oily. Yeah. And the artichokes, you chop them up, you've got another texture. Well, that's very good.
Yep.
Baked for about 20 minutes.
Enjoy the show so much.
Thank you.
Well, thanks very much. And again, somebody wants to call in real quick. We can get in one or two. What strikes me is that a lot of these recipes, they're not that complicated, and they maybe only involve a couple things.
That's what I mean. It's no longer a matter of we've got to work all day and make pastries and all that sort of thing. It's all instant.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I may go home and do some more.
Well, again, if somebody's got one they want to contribute here, 333-9455 and a toll-free, 800-222-9455.
And I have been thinking of doing more things with fruits, because they will be in the summertime, they will be available.
Yeah.
And what was the one we liked so much? There are some very good wines some nice Italian wines and blue cheese. The gorgonzola, gorgonzola and a wine is a very good combination together, and that's something we learned in Italy.
Okay, champagne caller here, line 1. Hello.
Hi. A friend of mine gave me some goat cheese that was mixed with honey. She bought it at the
shop
down in Arthur.
Yes.
And so I mixed it. I had butternut squash from the garden that I baked, and I put in a package of the honey goat cheese, a can of white beans, the cooked butternut squash, and I smashed it all together, and I put some cumin in it.
Good, yes.
And then I rolled it up in corn tortillas, and then... And baked them, so they're like flautas or whatever.
Yes.
And they were, my kids loved them. They were sweet, and they got their vegetables and protein. And
I don't know where the tradition of putting honey with goat cheese comes from, but yes, I do know you can buy that. As I said, the first recipe that I was worked on was to put honey in goat cheese. And I don't know exactly what that tradition would come from, but I know you can buy the goat cheese with the honey already in it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and she got it at the salvage store, so obviously some grocery store didn't like it, and so we bought it for 60 cents versus $3.
I love it. But you're the one that won.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was good. That's good.
And my kids liked it too.
Yes.
It kept in the refrigerator, so those I couldn't make, and then I, you know, later on in the week I would make, roll them up and make them. So.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
And any way you can sneak vegetables by the kids, that's a good thing too.
Yeah.
Very good. Well,
okay,
thanks.
I appreciate that.
Was it something that you just made up, or were you so inspired by?
I just made it up. I was like, what do I have in my pantry? And we got to hurry up and make dinner. And it cooked really fast because I had the butternut squash already baked.
Oh yes.
And just threw it all together and put them in the corn tortillas and rolled them up and baked them.
That's very ingenious. Very good. Well, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Well, we're kind of coming down to the end here on the show. One more time, though. Now, see, all those people have called and very nicely said that they enjoyed this program. If you were within the range of WILL television, I want you to be tuned in Monday night, next Monday, 9th of March, 7 o'clock. We're doing another live cooking show, Mr. Moore and I. This will be our third program. The theme, chili soups and stews. We have some really good recipes. I think maybe the best collection yet. We've invited some folks who contributed recipes to come down to the studio to be with us. So we'll be live in the studio, kind of showing you how these dishes come together. And waxing rhapsodic, I'm sure, about how good they are.
And I shall be revealing my mother's recipe, which is as old as the hills.
Now there, this is going to be something, folks. You want to tune in. We've talked about this a lot.
For 30 years,
we've talked about it. Okay. The secret will be revealed, so you can see that. We'll have a really nice cookbook with the recipes that we're doing on the show and others that have been contributed by viewers and listeners. I think it's going to be our best show. We're going to have a lot of fun. It's going to be a great program. So I certainly hope, sincerely hope, that folks who tune in to us and listen to this show every month, if you like listening to Doyle, that you'll be with us Monday, next Monday, March 9th, 7 o'clock, WILL TV, 7 to 10. And that should, you know, the first time we did it, I thought, man, that's a long time. But you know, that just goes,
well,
that goes in the blink of an eye.
We have 10 guests.
That's right.
I guess.
That's
I got
right.
five. You
yeah,
have
I think,
five?
Yeah, I think that's the idea.
We'll do
10 segments. And we'll share the recipes and we'll have a great time. So I hope people can join us. And next month, again, first Wednesday, Doyle will be back and we'll do this over again. Something else. Thanks very much.
All right. Thank you.